Testing 1, 2. This is Mr. Nobody. Podcast number 9. Around the Reservoir. Yeah, so today I'm going to take myself around the reservoir using my little field recorder. I'm not really sure this talking to myself is helping or hurting since I've started these podcasts, for lack of a better name. I've had more jarring emotions, and it's coincided with a few different things. I stopped using all cannabis about 4 or 5 months ago, and my dreams went into technicolor, but also just my access to thoughts and emotions really changed. Convinced that, at least for myself, though I know it's the same for others, that using any kind of drugs or alcohol is really just about suppressing our emotions, our thoughts and emotions. Like, I don't want to think those thoughts, so I'll drink. Think this thought, so I'll smoke. It's my wife warming up. I'm outside the apartment, but you can hear her from out here. She's been in a play. And we have a gig this weekend coming up where she will arrive late and take on the last, like, few songs with the group. I just haven't been practicing the guitar the way I should. Is there a should? Mostly because I've been mixing and editing and composing music. For years, I really didn't do much of that. I just played the guitar, which I realized was a form of escapism on my part. It was a way of me not dealing with my emotions, not dealing with my thoughts. It's particularly warm today, which is nice. I'm doing push-ups right over the recorder. Wife said I did not look well. I did not look well. Just in my face, I look like I hadn't been sleeping. And I think that's what's been going on. I've just been obsessed with these memories. And they're painful. Because I can't control them. Once I open up the floodgate, they seem to come whenever they want. Times I had private time with my son. Alone time with my son is when he was staying with me here in the city while he was doing this guitar workshop.
Okay, sweetie. Want me to lock the door?
Yeah, I'll lock it.
All right,
sure. So as I was saying, one of the last times I had private time. Man, don't dump that there. Don't dump that garbage there. I appreciate that. Thank you. You gotta be careful confronting people. Living in a big city like this, it's not very typical to run into people you know. I saw a young lady on the subway who I don't know, but I know that she works in my office. And that's just very rare. It happens to me every couple years at most. It makes me sad when I meet people who are my son's age. I feel cheated that he's not alive, figuring out his life.
Life.
It was just
life,
snuffed
life,
out.
It's just over.
One of the last times I hung out with my son was to do this run I'm going to do today. Around the reservoir. I can still see him so clearly in my mind, because he was so fit at that time. He was ironically at the peak of his form, which was pretty impressive. He was strong, he was fast, he was skillful.
I guess.
There's always a weird tension with a father and a son, especially if the father is active, like I am, and you're raising your son to be active too, and then your son surpasses you. And I kind of felt that happen right at the time. My son was right at the end. Again, ironically, because he was using heroin during that time. I'm sure of it. Said to honor my son, but I don't even know what that means.
Because I said I would.
And the two things were jujitsu and Alan Watts. I don't use too many names on these podcasts. Sometimes maybe I'll say Charlie Parker or Jimi Hendrix. But my son was very taken with Alan Watts at that time, and I had known of him from a book that he wrote on Zen, but I had never really listened to him. In seeking some solace, I suppose, I did two things. I think within the 2 weeks after my son died, because many people die, everybody dies. And sometimes somebody's murdered, and you don't say they die, you say they were murdered because of the injustice. And if I say my son died, it sounds like a legitimate death, and it was not. I don't consider it a legitimate death. That's a little weird, but these feelings are not easy feelings. They're honest feelings. But I did not consider my son's death a legitimate death because he didn't earn it. It wasn't something he deserved. That any of us deserved. Thought. More than a thought, though. A gut truth. A powerful feeling from my guts. I refused anybody's attempts to, give me sympathy. I was offended by that. Threw away every sympathy card that I got before reading them. Because, what the hell is sympathy? Nobody should sympathize with somebody throwing their life away. You shouldn't have to sympathize somebody doing that. I wasn't going to participate in it. There are all these protocols around death, but my son's death was so ridiculous, so absurd, so foolish, so unnecessary, unwarranted. Uncool. that I just could not accept any sympathy. And I know it sounds terrible, but I can't give any sympathy to people whose kid or partner or whatever has thrown their life away.
Hello, who's calling?
Just of all the ways to die, to throw your life away, just seems like the most egregious thing to do. It's very particular. Because murder is more unjust. And there's different layers of the way murders happen, just like there are with overdose. Again, I don't call it overdose. I call it killing yourself with drugs. An overdose is just one stupid event. Yourself with drugs is a continuum that just terminates with your body shutting off because of the stupidity. The stupidity of that choice.
Yeah.
My son used to train me. Like when we physically worked out, he was just getting so good. He'd say, "Dad, do this. Try this." When we ran around the park, the movie in my mind. He told me to hold my chest up, you know, like push my chest up and my shoulders back and run high up in my torso. Because sometimes when I take this run, I'm like, I just got to get through it, you know? So now when I run, I do it that way, his way.
Yeah.
His way. I just want to circle back to the idea that my guitar playing, my practicing, was a way to avoid my emotions. Before he died, I was shedding. I call that wood shedding, where you go take yourself out of the game for a while to just play your ass off and do the work, the serious work of becoming a musician.
Do the work, let's say, all your scales, all your arpeggios, voice leading chords.
That's a tough one because it's essential to understand that one chord attaches to the next chord, a note or two, and that those beautiful slips from tone to tone really identify the changes and create an immense security and pleasure connection. And then once you know how to do that kind of thing, you can play around with it. You could sometimes avoid those notes too, as long as you know what they are. It's interesting, right, that you can break the rules once you know the rules. But if you're just breaking rules, you're full of shit. I say that a lot because this situation is so sad to me, so unresolvable, that the only words I can think of are swear words having to do with waste product in terms of value. And waste product has value, right? Like manure grows plants again. So I'm not trying to make any major connection here, but Dante, in his Divine Comedy, used the word shit because it was the only way that he could really express what something really was in terms of its worth, in terms of its reality, in his vernacular street language. But sometimes when I use these words like bullshit, being full of shit, I think about Dante. Bullshit to me is a very particular kind of lying to other people and lying to yourself while still knowing that you're doing it. Half believing yourself enough to give yourself an excuse. Like the guy who was just about to litter against the tree in front of my house. That's fucking bullshit. What, do you think that the world does not know that you did that? He can get away with it, but that piece of garbage is gonna have to get picked up by somebody. In his case, not him. because he feels entitled to litter. So what created that person? What creates a person that thinks that littering is benign? And it wasn't just like an innocent littering. I could tell half a block away it was going to happen because his whole life is standing in this moment. So everything that you allow, every lie or bullshit, equivocation, anti-reasoning that you allow creates this now, this moment, where you excuse yourself. So Alan Watts and Jiu-Jitsu, these things need to be talked about at some length. I'll do an entire podcast on jiu-jitsu, but suffice it to say at this moment, I had a dream yesterday that was not something I woke up from in a happy state, where my son and I are rolling, that's what they call it, and I had trained with him at his jiu-jitsu school when I was visiting. I recognized how sweet he was, how kind, getting to know each other in that way. And now I see that he was a blue belt taking me through some paces. And in this dream, in my dream, we were training now, which is what we should be doing. We should be training right now. I'm just complaining. Christian was one of the founders of bebop, because he could literally play 20 choruses of a tune without repeating himself, composing in real time, surprising melodic content, and he had just been smoking himself. A lot of those guys did it, John. The drug dealers of the day party with you. At first they would just do coke with you, so you do a little coke with them, and then you see them the next night and they'd mix in a little bit of heroin, and see them the next night and they'd mix in 3/4 of heroin, and by the third or fourth night they weren't looking for you, you were looking for them. This was a game the drug dealers played at that time and ensnared a lot of young jazz players. So whoever was, you know, running the drug cartels in those days, the mafia or whoever, had their street dealers who were likable cats, salesmen, if you don't mind, salesmen of their bullshit, ensnaring young players. There was a sense that, like, you weren't really connected with, like what Bird was doing, if you weren't on chunk. Many people who died, you don't even know who they are. Great players, just OD'd, dead, gone forever, forgotten. Like most junkies will just be forgotten. Let's go running. I'm just avoiding it anyway.
done. Interesting point. That there is no God without the individual person. Because there is no subject without predicate. There is no observer without the observed. There's no universe without you in it. Because the universe comes to full creation because of you. So when my son died, he didn't just die and leave this place. A universe disappeared, and a different one was created for me. So yeah, I'm complaining, I'm bitching, I'm whining. Those things are probably true. But I'm not going to get over this. It's too much in my grain. It'd be like trying to pull apart oak. I'm not going to say I would have preferred my son to have died nobly, heroically, or even doing something normal.
But certainly.
Maybe I would have. But certainly.
Not murdered.
But certainly doing something noble, heroic, but certainly normal. This just put a stain. It makes it hard for me to celebrate his life, his beautiful life, his beautiful soul, self. I've got a lot to learn. Mr. Nobody out.
One, two, one, two.